Welcome in, whether you are citywide, statewide, nationwide, worldwide. This is the inaugural edition of the Big O Show right here on the Overreaction Buffalo Sports Network. I am the Big O, Jerry Ostrowski. He is Joe Miller. He is my partner for today. And we just want to say thanks. Thanks for showing up. We appreciate you as always. If you haven't subscribed on YouTube yet, please do. It helps us out. So hit that subscribe button on YouTube. Hit the like button as well. Let's see how many likes we can get. Let's see if we can get over 500 likes on this show. Let's see if we can get over 500.
I love
it. But if you're on Facebook, if you're on X or Twitter, hop on over to YouTube, get in the comments, and check us out. So as I said, welcome to the inaugural edition of the Big O Show. This will be my show on Thursday nights. We will come at you 8 Eastern, 7 Central. And when we get into the season, we will be giving you an in-depth breakdown of that week's opponent. I'll look at all 22 film during the week. I'll tell you what I see. We'll probably bring in a guest from another content creator that covers the team that we're playing. We'll get into some discussions as well as look at some injuries and things of that nature. But we'll give you an in-depth Buffalo breakdown on Thursday nights here on the Big O Show. As I said earlier, my man, my partner in crime, Joe Miller, joins me. Joe, what's going on?
Not much. Just, living the dream, as they say, in my Buffalo logo blue-collar blue-collar T-shirt that I got from Eric. So enjoying this. But, yeah.
You can't see mine. I'm wearing a Hunt for Red October Philadelphia Phillies Philadelphia Philly Fanatic T-shirt, as the Phillies are already over 40 wins on the season as they're over in London today. Oof. They're playing at London. I don't know where they're playing. I didn't realize they had baseball fields in London, but they are playing in London today against the maybe the weather will be as dreary as their opponent, because I believe they're playing the Mets, who have been absolutely awful. But hey, we got to
that's just more confusion for me, because they call a soccer field a pitch and there's pitches in baseball. So what are they playing on, right? But it's just, oh well.
Who knows, man? I'm sure that the English have some sort of name for it.
Can we talk about that for a second, by the way? The fact the English, right? And this will be a very brief moment. So we went to Europe in October, and I'll just break it down as this. The only people that speak real English are Americans. Even like when you talk about so we went through just the way that THs are pronounced, right? Like all the different ways TH words are pronounced in London, but like in Ireland, it's Taherty, like not 30, Taherty. And right. Like in England, a lot of times they don't pronounce the H, it's just Turdy. It's I don't understand it. Why is it named after them, our language, but we're the ones that actually pronounce things properly?
That's a whole nother episode of world history, Joe, that I really don't care to get into. But if you ask the English, they will tell you that they're the only ones that speak proper English. And we speak some sort of dialect that they don't know or never heard of. So, hey, today's show, we'll get into Rasul Douglas. He's been a no-show at OTAs. We'll talk about that. We'll get into Brandon Bean. He's got about $11 million, folks. And we'll talk about maybe some positions. Joe's got some positions where there's some free agents available that may be able to help us. Do they fit within that $11 million number? And we'll get into that as well. But real quick, Rasul Douglas has not been present at OTAs. We have a mini camp coming up soon. Will he be at mini camp? We don't know. Obviously, Douglas, the veteran player, started out with the Eagles, was moved to the Packers, and then last year, unexpectedly, or at least if you talk to Rasul Douglas, unexpectedly traded from the Packers to the Bills and was an integral part of that Bills secondary. And really, for no other way to look at it, bailed us out of a very, very tough situation with Trey White. Comes in, plays very, very well, has a number of interceptions. And now he is a no-show at OTAs. Joe, what's your feeling on that situation?
So I reached out to Matt Parrino today to ask him as well, just around, because he was one of the ones that had reported, as had Elena Getzenberg on Tuesday on the beat, that Rasul Douglas had not been there on Tuesdays, at least for the media portion. So I asked Matt Parrino today as well. I was like, so is this Rasul Douglas, has he just not been there on Tuesday, or has he not been there at all? And Matt said, as far as we know, he's only not been here on Tuesdays. However, there have been no pictures of him. There's been no real media coverage, or not media, but the Bills social media team hasn't really had any pictures of him. I think you know, he's going into the last year of his contract. He seems very excited to be a Buffalo Bill. He was one of the few players that tweeted something when Stephon Diggs was traded, as far, and who knows if those are connected or not. And it was more of a relief, if I remember the tweet correctly, as far as that goes. I think this is probably, what is he, 31? This is probably older dude. Family is important. You were this guy, right? Like, family is important. And do I really need to be there for OTAs? I know the defense. I know my role. I know what I'm going to be doing. Mandatory mini camp is coming up, and I'm sure he'll show up for that. But that's just me. I don't. Maybe you've got a different take. I'm not sure that we need to be running the flag up the pole yet.
Right. I think we have to wait to see what happens during mini camp. Right. So the sensible fan, the sensible person, will give you the answer that Joe gave you. Yeah. This is a veteran player. Has been in the league since 2017. Was a high draft pick again with the Philadelphia Eagles before he went on to Green Bay. He's been successful everywhere he's been. But there is something that's interesting, and I'm going to play devil's advocate in this situation. A high draft pick that is moved from the Eagles and then goes to Green Bay, has some numbers there, and then all of a sudden is unexpectedly traded again. And so does he have some off the field baggage? I say it all the time. Your on the field abilities better be better than your off the field issues. I don't know if he does or he doesn't. I'm not saying he does. I'm just playing devil's advocate and speculating. Then there's this viewpoint. Okay. This is a contract year for Douglas. So obviously it's an important year. If you look at his resume of work, even though it was for about half of the season last year, it was relatively good. It was high-level play. And as I said earlier, he bailed the Bills out on defense.
Big time.
Gave them a big-time starter at corner, played really, really well, turned the ball over, and was highly productive. If you look at the Bills roster right now, while a lot of people still are hanging their hat on the wide receiver room and use this $11 million for the wide receiver room, there are other areas of this team that are extremely thin. One of those being cornerback. So if you look, if I'm an agent sitting in a room and I'm going to give my client advice, is this a situation where Douglas feels he has the upper hand, or his representation feels he has the upper hand with negotiations at the present moment? Because if Rasul Douglas holds out and does not come to camp on time or whatever else, who is that next guy? I don't know who he is. Is it Elam? Is it somebody else? So playing devil's advocate, again, I'm not trying to stir the pot or start anything. We're looking at scenarios, right? That's what we're hopefully eventually going to get paid to do. But, it's one of those situations where does he have the upper hand in negotiations because of how thin the Bills are at corner? And is he being opportunistic by putting a little bit of doubt in the back of Brandon Bean and Sean McDermott's minds that he may not be available for camp?
So interestingly enough, as I look at Spot Track, his cap hit is $3.348 million. It looks like his cash, what he's going to get paid, is $7.5 million. So I'm not necessarily sure that he could want more than that. If he tries to play some, he does have three void years on his contract as well, which I believe the Bills have voided, somebody voided them. It just says in Spot Track that, 25, 26, 27 are void years, and he will be a UFA next year in 2025. I feel like, this is, this is pushing all in. If he were to hold out for minicamp and going into the offseason, like the rest of the offseason into training camp, holding out for more money. I said he was 31. How old is he? Why is he not popping up on here? I think I went to his earnings or something like that. Career earnings, yada, 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 statistics. Oh, here he is. He's 29. My bad. So he's not 31. He's 29. So he's still relatively young. If he did try to hold out, I feel like it's you're playing Texas Hold'em against another guy. Both of your cards are up, and you see that you're beaten, and you're pushing all your chips in the middle. And it's not because the Bills have some upper hand. The Bills are in a position of, we don't have any money to give you. Like, I would love to give you more money, but I mean, I guess there's probably something they can do from a contract standpoint. And a guy like Greg Thompson would know better about this from Cover One, where they could, like, you know, give him a 2-year extension, make his cap number super duper low this year, backload the whole entire thing and give him some fresh money. I'm sure that there's something like that, but I just, for me, it feels like, I mean, they'd be chasing that $3.3 million cap hit, you know, and it just seems like he would be, it doesn't seem practical.
Well, personally, all the cards of negotiation are in the Bills' hands.
Yes.
Like I said earlier, he's been moved twice. Are there issues? I don't know. I'm just speculating. Then you said the magic number. You said he is 29.
Right.
New contract, he will be 30. There's your magic number again. Are you giving huge dollars to a guy that's 30 years old? Mm. So if the Bills are smart, they slow play it and say, you know what? If he plays really, really well and somebody else wants to give him a ton of money, okay, that's fine, because I'm not going to overpay a guy that's 30 plus years old.
Yeah.
If he plays well and there is no interest or limited interest, then the Bills maybe sign him back for a contract that's approximately what he's making now.
Right.
You know, which is, to be honest with you, it's good money, but starting number one cornerback money, really not there.
No.
So right now I think the Bills are in a position where we don't have to do anything. If you hold out, you got to pay us in fines. They're not going to renegotiate the contract. Mm. And you know, you go down the road. Now, that is if we don't see him in minicamp. I think we will see him in minicamp.
Yeah.
I think this is the case of a veteran that is like, look, man, I know what I'm doing. I've got my off-season routine that I do. I wish I had past knowledge of how he handled OTAs at Green Bay.
Right.
Because maybe he didn't show up to OTAs at Green Bay.
Right.
But I don't have that knowledge.
So devil's advocate on the other side to play, and we could probably go back and forth for a while on this, but we could finish after this version of devil's advocate. So as much as the Bills would slow play it, it seems like his team would be smart to fast play it. They don't want to negotiate when he's 30.
Right.
And then on the other side of that too, and this is something only you could speak to, which is while he's CB1 on this team, it doesn't necessarily mean he would be CB1 on any other team, but does he carry that into the negotiation? Does his agent call and go, your CB1 is making way less money than every other CB1 on every other team in the NFL, right?
Is he CB1?
It's either that's him or Christian Benford.
Right, and that's what I'm saying. I mean, I think Benford has played at a consistent level, and with the age he is, I think, you know, the argument can be made that he is CB1 person. Again, you know me, I don't like to put labels. You know, this isn't the high school band, and we're not having the first chair saxophone and first chair clarinet. Although obviously in other worlds, that's bragging rights. Those are worlds that I don't really know much about, but, so I think that maybe, you know, and that kind of ties in, Joe, you made a great point. The fast track comment about, you know, maybe we try to make them a little bit nervous and try to force their hand to maybe get a little bit more money, to where we get rid of these voidable years and we get some more money out of the, you know, off that $7 million and stuff like that. So it will be interesting. I think, like I said, the answers will come at minicamp and we'll know what's going on. But also, we talked about it at the start. Bills have, Joe, you have the exact number. It's a little over $11 million.
No, it's a little under $11 million. Bills' current cap space with all of their rookies signed except for Keon Coleman is $10,958,896. So literally, I'm going to say a shade, even though I'm not necessarily sure $42,000 is a shade to anybody. I would take it.
Right. So you got $10 million, $11 million to play with.
Yes.
You go out and maybe find a depth piece or a guy that, with that kind of money, you could probably find a guy that could be productive for a few years. I don't know if this is enough money to go get a marquee guy. We've talked about various positions. Joe has positions that he would dive into, and we'll get to that in a second. But definitely you have some money where you can go out and get a couple guys to help. And usually it's those guys like what New England feasted upon for years.
Yep.
The 12, 13-year, 14-year vet that, okay, look, man, you can't do this, this, and this really well anymore, but you can do this and this outstanding, and that's all I need you to do.
That's right.
And so, you know, what does Buffalo do moving into this stretch of the offseason before before camp in St. John Fisher with this $11 million? Joe, you've identified a couple spots that you like that you think maybe they can go out and get some key pieces with who's available.
Yeah, so I mean, when you look at it, I mean, they're obviously, to your point, they're not playing with the kind of money where they're going to sign anybody to multiple years. That's just not going to happen. There's also not really anybody out there save Justin Simmons that you probably would want to sign for potentially multiple years. There's some guys coming off of injury. You know, the first thing you got to do is recognize which positions it is. Oh, by the way, and they also have to sign Keon Coleman, and they've got to have a slush fund going into the season in case somebody gets hurt, right? So it's not like they've got, it's not as much as the graphic is Brandon Bean holding a credit card. He can't max the damn thing out in the next 4 or 5 days, like, or even the next couple months. Like, he's got to go into it with some headroom. But you know, for when you look at it, you know, they just released Tommy Doyle, so there's probably a potential camp body need or something, some a guy that's been on this roster, some need there, you know, on the offensive line. And I would say that we still probably need some line all over, or need some help all over the defense. And for me, the ones that I kind of picked as far as that goes for this conversation, was edge, defensive tackle from a depth standpoint, and then safety. I feel like as much as we're thin at corner, and there's a lot of, actually, believe it or not, decent names out there that are a little bit marginally over the hills, Stephon Gilmore's of the world, stuff like that. Patrick Peterson, I feel like they might be okay there. I think they've got enough bodies to kind of go into the season. So I'll start with edge. And when you look at just the edge, the Bills need help still on the edge. You know, the graphic we did, I think, Sunday for Sunday show about the defensive line, you know, your starters are A.J. Epinesa, obviously, and then Greg Rousseau. And then your backup is Von Miller, if he's healthy. Who claims, it claimed on Tuesday, media day, that he's now finally practicing without a knee brace on, which you can probably speak to, is big. Like, that's a huge thing, right? He said. So who knows? He might be good to go. He might be older, but body working and everything's, you know, this could be a decent season for him. At the end of the day, the thing with Von Miller, you know, when we even signed him, was if he does nothing through the season and then gets 5 sacks or 4 sacks that matter in the playoffs, he's worth every penny because he's closing games, which is still true. Regardless, some guys that are out there, Yannick Ngakoue, he was somewhat productive in 2023. He's on the street. There's some conversations around the Bears actually bringing him back. It'll be interesting to see where he lands and how he lands. He doesn't really fit, you know, that Bills mold of what they've been doing, which is finding guys that they can get for $1 million or $1.5 million, whether they're coming off of injury or they're guys that are going to sit on the couch until September or October and then pull them in, the Lenville Joseph situation last year. Carl Lawson, believe it or not, is an interesting name as far as this goes. Carl Lawson was with the Bengals, signed a massive deal with the Jets, and then ended up having like injuries, couldn't play 22 or 23. And the Jets finally released him. Just they had had enough. They, at the end of the road, the injuries just got to them and they had to move on from him. But he literally fits this mold for the Buffalo Bills, that kind of 1 year prove it. If he's fully healthy, 1 year prove it mode. Obviously, Shaq Lawson is also out there. And it's not unlike the Bills at the last minute go and find somebody that they're very familiar with. They know what they're going to get from Shaq. They also, you don't need a run stuffer. They're always going to need that guy that is stiff and strong against the run, primarily because of the way that they play defense. But the Bills know him. He's going to come cheap, which is exactly what the Bills want. And when you're looking at Shaq, Shaq's not a guy that's going to play this year. You know, it's like, I'm going to, you know, this is my prove it year. Like, Carl Lawson is it's a prove it year. I'm healthy now. I'm going to come in. I'm going to make some hay. Shaq is going to be Shaq. This time next year, more than likely, Shaq is going to be sitting out there someplace waiting for somebody to throw $1 million at him again. And then the last one, just from an edge that I thought was really interesting, was Calais Campbell. Very, very productive on the backside of his career. Really fits that just plug and play model, right? You don't do everything well anymore. You do a couple great things, and we just need you to come in situationally and be great. And we're willing to give you $1.5 million to ride our coattails to the playoffs for sure. And who knows, maybe get lucky and go to a Super Bowl this year. But that was my kind of like edge situation. I don't know if you've got any thoughts.
No, I don't. I think you're dead on. I think, you know, Calais Campbell, I think, is like, what, a 38-year vet? I mean, other than the fact that he's played, like, since the inception of football, I think you're looking, you know, at a guy that's
still productive.
Played well. Emmanuel Ogba is a guy that I used to watch in college down here in Oklahoma. He's done some things.
He's a 3-4 DE, though. He doesn't Shaq Lawson's a 3-4 defensive end, too, who's done pretty well in the 4-3 in Buffalo, but different sizes. Like, yeah, but go ahead.
Well, that's what I'm saying is none of the Bills defensive ends other than Groot are very big. I mean, you know, Groot, and even Groot is a long guy. He's not long. Necessarily big. So these are guys that can play the nine technique, a jam nine, play the edge in the run, maybe bring him down inside in a B gap if you have to, if you do some stuff with a linebacker in them. But no, I think you're right on track. And really, to me, honestly, if none of these guys, you know, with the exception of Carl Lawson, I think you hit the nail on the head there. That's a very, very intriguing deal. But when you're a team that is incredibly tight on money, can you take that risk losing a guy that's been injured and you bring him in, he gets hurt, and now all of a sudden you're short a guy?
Sure.
But I mean, the safest choice there is probably the guy that understands the defense that's been doing it, and that's Shaq Lawson.
That's right.
And what's funny is I think people need to understand that a lot of time teams will do this. They'll let their own sit out there for a while, knowing that if somebody else picks them up, that's okay. We'll figure it out.
Right.
But knowing there's a good chance they'll still be available close to camp, and if they're staying in shape, you can bring him in for that cheaper number. So I think you're dead on.
100%. The other position of need that I chose, as far as just with that kind of like $11 million credit card that Brandon Bean has, was defensive tackle. And there wasn't a whole lot of names here. There's several nose tackles out there, and obviously the nose tackle, this is not a 3-4 defense. It's not a hybrid 3-4 either. They are a straight 4-3, a true actually nickel 4-2. Linville Joseph is the first guy that's out there, and it would not surprise me in the least, and I don't think it should surprise you or anybody else, that the Bills do the exact same thing. September rolls around. Hey, Linville, do you want to come in and take some snaps? And he's like, show me some zeros. So they show him a check with $1.5 million, somewhere around there, and he comes in. The intriguing name in this situation for me is a guy by the name of Brian Moen. Brian Moen missed all of the 2022, or he had an ACL injury in 2022 and missed all of 2023. So at this point, he should be healthy. But he very much is more of that anchor, that big body anchor dude that would be very good depth kind of behind Daquan Jones. Obviously, we've lost Jordan Phillips. That was Jordan's role, right? As much as Jordan had some flash and some pizzazz at times, generally speaking, he was, you know, that anchor. It's the one technique, correct, as far as that goes?
Right,
yes. Yeah, so he was the one. And I think that Brian Moen kind of fits that same role. So those are the two that I kind of had there that the Bills could probably get relatively inexpensively. And it wouldn't surprise me if the Bills find one or two of these, like two of these players, not just one.
I'm still hung up on the secondary. If you bring in somebody in the front end, you know, I'd probably prefer a defensive end over a defensive tackle. I think the Bills have already gone out and signed those types of free agents. With the guy they got from the Carolina Panthers, and also the vet they got from the Chargers, and then also you get a draft pick. I think the defensive tackle area has been addressed.
You might be right.
I still look at the safety room and really, really wish there was another guy there, especially with Mike Edwards having the shoulder issues before we've even gotten into any sort of contact. And, you know, you look at a guy like Justin Simmons, played his career with the Broncos, 30 interceptions, did have 4.5 sacks, 604 total tackles in his career. He's a playmaker. He's a difference maker. Can you convince him to come in on a one-year deal and take, you know, because if you look at some of these contracts, I mean, guys like that, I mean, those contracts are all kind of in line. I mean, one-year deals, guys signing $6 million contracts. You got guys signing $7 million contracts, 2 years, $7 million extension. I mean, so like the Broncos, they decided to keep PJ Locke. They signed him on a 2-year, $7 million extension with the Broncos, okay? So I think that a guy like Simmons is that perfect fit. Is he a guy that you bring in under the guise of this is a 1-year tryout, and then if he just makes an absolute difference, do you try to find a way to sign him long-term?
Yeah.
So, like I said, 604 career tackles. This is a guy that's played a little bit. So he's getting close to that 30 number, that Mendoza line as far as contracts go in the NFL. So to me, that's a difference maker that you could possibly get for a less amount of money. Is what the Bills have available enough? I don't know. But I really think that secondary needs to have somebody added to it.
Yeah, I don't know what that answer is. And the question is why is Justin Simmons still out there, right? I mean, he was talked about heavily at the top of free agency, like when free agency opens. Well, we don't even know what he wants, right?
That's probably what the issue is he wants an ex, and it's probably why they moved him on and went ahead and gave Locke the extension because of the amount of money he probably wanted. So, like I said, you know, you made a point earlier in the show that was spot on, and I cannot emphasize it enough. And I know people think I'm crazy, but man, when the players and the agents start creeping to that 3-0 number, they understand it's go time. You've got to try to get that contract. There's not many Von Miller deals out there, guys.
Right, right.
There's not many after 30-year-old Von Miller deals. For quarterbacks, okay, yes. For once in a generational type player, yes.
Yeah.
For the standard NFL vet, no.
Yeah.
So that's where, you know, that's where this whole thing gets real complicated.
We have two interesting examples as far as that goes. You know, one of them being the Von Miller one that you talked about. And I always go back to my reaction. I remember it's one of those. I remember where I was sitting on my couch and it flashed across the bottom of the screen. The Buffalo Bills have signed Von Miller, and I paused the television and I went, what? Like, because that's not something, it wasn't even on the radar, the Buffalo Bills signing Von Miller. I unpaused the television and see the contract details, and I went, what? Like, when you saw the numbers, it's like, what is happening right now? But the other example is clearly Jordan Poyer. You know, Jordan Poyer was very much pressing to cash out as much as he possibly could from the Bills the last several years that he was here, and he was successful in doing so, and no hard feelings. I mean, Jordan will always be, you know, once a Bill, always a Bill, and Jordan is a guy that might end up on the Wall of Fame someday here in Buffalo, you know, along with Micah, the greatest safety tandem this franchise has ever seen. Justin Simmons is going to be interesting. You wonder, will he get desperate and take a 1-year, $2 million full of incentives deal? I mean, you just don't know. To me, though, the guy here is always going to be Micah Hyde, right? Micah is the guy. He's the ex-girlfriend they're chasing.
Are they chasing him?
Well, you know, figure speech. I'm just saying, like,
I'm going to give you unpopular opinion.
Okay.
Okay. For a player to come out of retirement at the age he, and I didn't say retired. Let me rephrase that.
Yeah. Okay.
Take two.
Take two.
For a player to come out of the situation he's in with multiple neck surgeries, questionable health, he's made his money, he's got a family, he's not coming out of that situation for a small amount of money.
Well, that's it. That's where I was going to go.
But I think, and this is unpopular opinion, I know, because we love our own. I mean, we just can't stand to see somebody move on. I would much rather spend that money on a guy like Justin Simmons, who is younger,
healthy,
who's healthier, who we could actually, if the situation is correct, have this type of player on our team for multiple years if we're able to have the opportunity to re-sign him, then bring a guy back just because he gets all up in our fields.
Yep. No, you're not wrong. The notes that I have with Micah Hyde, aside from all the stuff that we've already talked about on several different shows, is it's a question that has to be asked one way, which is, when is he coming back and how much? Or it has to be asked how much and when. Same two questions, but they're very different if they're reversed. Like, when are you coming back? And then how much is it going to cost me versus wait, how much is it going to cost me? And when do you want to come back? Because if he says, I want to play for $5 million, but I don't want to play until November, that's a much different conversation than I want to come back in September and I want to play for $5 million.
And I think that Brandon Bean this offseason has proven to the fan base, has proven to the mafia this. He is not afraid to move on from fan favorites.
Agreed. 100%.
And that could not have been proven any more than moving Mitch Morris.
That's exactly
right. And I think he realizes that keeping around fan favorites might sell more jerseys, might do whatever, but ultimately it ends up in the long run causing severely long playoff droughts. And it causes your team to be old. And with the number of games and, you know, creeping up exponentially, we're talking about 18 now. It's something you just cannot do. You have to stay young.
100%. But that's all I got for you. I can throw some names at you real quick, just as far as corners that are out there. The list is not great. Xavier Howard is decent. Adoree Jackson's out there. Stephon Gilmore, who the Bills obviously originally drafted in the first round. Patrick Peterson. I don't think we're touching J.C. Jackson. J.C. Jackson was heralded as this great cornerback, and every time we saw him, Stephon Diggs was beating him up and down the field. It's just like, yeah, I'll stay away from J.C. Jackson. But yeah, so there's some corners out there to your point, but the Bills have an opportunity to make a couple of moves. We've seen Brandon Bean do it every single year. He's going to make a couple million dollar moves here and there. It's just a matter of who and when. And yeah, I would love to reel in Justin Simmons.
That guy makes our football team better.
Oh, yeah.
If he shows up.
Oh, yeah.
100%. So, yeah, we'll see. I mean, it's a situation where, you know, you got to sign Keon Coleman. You got to have a little bit of a slush fund. Do you have enough left to lure somebody like that? And again, you hear it all the time, and players are not mute to this point. You know, what is your number one marketable ability of the Buffalo Bills at the present moment? It's the guy that wears 17. Mm-hmm. You get a chance to play on a team where Josh Allen is your quarterback. And, you know, there's a lot of veterans out there that are very, very up on those things. Mm-hmm. I think Buffalo has proven that they are. See, because back when I played and back in the 2000s, Buffalo was not a free agent destination type of place. It just wasn't. You went ahead and had to go pay guys like Mario Williams $100 million to get them to come up here, and then they played like dogs. You had to overpay to lure free agents. That's not the case anymore. The facilities are top-notch. If you look at those grades at the end of the year, the franchise in general gets good grades. They treat their players properly. Everything's there for free agents to come. Can you lure one of those guys to come into the program and make a difference? So
we'll see
what happens.
That's all I
Anything
got.
Else?
No, that's all
I got. Did see something interesting before we leave.
Okay.
The NFL has told the Green Bay Packers and the Philadelphia Eagles to not wear green.
I saw this.
They are forbidden from wearing green while they are in Brazil. Because green in Brazil is a color of the gangs. And hey, what's up, Kat? And they said that they are not to wear green. They are not to leave the hotel.
Yes,
and they will have 24/7 supervision. So
crazy.
Hey, man, let's go play in Brazil, man. Let's go.
Let's not.
Let's go.
Hard pass.
Again, this is the first episode of the Big O Show. The Big O Show will be here on the Overreaction Buffalo Sports Network on Thursday nights, 8 Eastern, 7 Central. We will have a variety of lineups. It'll be me and John. I'm sure it might be me sometimes. But as we get closer to the season and we get into the regular season, this will be a place for you to come and get in-depth breakdowns of that week's opponent. And we'll try to get on some content creators that cover the teams we're playing. We'll also have we have not solidified yet who it will be, but we will have some injury discussion.
Yes.
Before we get into the week's opponents and those types of things. I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be a lot of fun, and hope you'll join us again. Go to YouTube, hit the subscribe button. Now our next number is 2,000. We're creeping up towards 1,500. We want to get to 2,000. Hit the likes. Let's see if we can get 500 likes on this show and see if we can break a record. But again, as always, we appreciate you. Thanks for joining us. And we'll be here all off season as well as during the season with a solidified lineup. But I'm the Big O, Jerry Ostrowski. He is Joe Miller. As always, thanks for joining us, and go Bills.
Go Bills.